is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're going to tackle the topic of depression today, and Dr. Cora Hart is with us, a psychologist and the ADAPT Primary Care Behavioral Health Program Director. Thanks for coming back in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, Mental Health Awareness Month, and there's a depression component to that, and it seemed like after the past 18 months or so, it would be good to revisit the topic again, because I'm sure you've been seeing a lot of it in the last year and a half.
Absolutely. And, as we're learning more and more about the mental health impacts of COVID, we're really seeing significantly increased rates of anxiety, depression, and just general difficulty coping.
Do you think that it's been kind of cumulative, meaning for some people who maybe started the pandemic in a really good place and a simple life and everything was going along great, those folks have been impacted, and then take people that already were on bumpy roads, was even worse?
Yeah, so prior to the pandemic, about 1 in 10 adults in a given year would experience some type of mood disorder or anxiety. Now we're seeing closer to 4 in 10 adults, so a significant increase overall. But, more directly answer your question, just this week, the CDC added mental health as a risk factor for COVID. So what we've seen over the past 18 months is that individuals who have a mental health disorder are more likely to develop severe COVID or at increased of risk of hospitalization and poor outcomes, similar to what we see with older adults or others with pre-existing health conditions. So certainly we're seeing an intersection of the two.
And the other element, and I've heard this talked about in recent days on various programs, is also not knowing the long-term effects, where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have an idea of how they think the next year will, slowly shift, but we've been surprised before in the last 18 months.
Yeah, uncertainty can definitely have an impact on how well you can cope. The fact that this has been going on for so long, even people who are doing pretty well prior to the pandemic, have kind of run out of their usual energy and resource for dealing with stress.
And with folks in various ways, for the most part, at least pulling back a ways from a lot of contact, or maybe for quite a while, where they would go, what they would do, things like that. Is that added to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Social isolation is a factor. And there actually seems to be, there's emerging research on the impact of actually having COVID illness on mental health. So we're seeing higher rates of depression and other mental health conditions in individuals who've had COVID, not just individuals surviving a pandemic like most of us are.
Do you think that's tied to, in particular, maybe people who've had longer-term effects from COVID?
Yeah, there's multiple theories. Of course, we probably won't fully understand this for a few years even. But a part of it may be just the experience of having COVID. It's very isolating. You're away from others. If you have to be in the hospital, that can be really traumatic. And there also seems to be a physical aspect as well, potentially related to inflammation and COVID effects on the brain. So again, we don't really fully understand why that is, but it does seem to be playing a role.
Now, when we talk about depression, I mean, everybody's got a bad day. Everybody's sad about something not going right. Could be something really important or something really not. How do you differentiate between depression and just sadness?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, human experiences exist along a spectrum. So like you said, sadness, being down, feeling grief after the loss of a loved one, which many of us have experienced this year, really normal experiences. So when I think about depression, kind of further along that spectrum, the two things I think about are length of time, so one sad day versus a month of sad days, or disruption in function. So, I'm so sad that I can't get out of bed for a week in a row is really going to disrupt your ability to care for your family, to work, et cetera.
And normally, when you're dealing with sadness, for a lot of people, it is kind of a short-term situation. I say, you know, talk about things that aren't that important. But, I mean, some people are sad when, you know, their favorite candidate loses or their favorite football team loses. Mm-hmm. And that's really legitimate sadness in some cases. But for the most part, it fades fairly quickly.
Right, exactly.
So would you look at depression in general? What are some of the other things that contribute to people being depressed?
So there's certainly a genetic component. So we know that maybe up to 40% of risk for depression is related to heritability. You know, if you have a first degree relative, like a parent or a sibling who has a mental health disorder, you're probably at increased risk of developing a mental health disorder yourself. So there's a genetic component, and then there's a what happens in life component. So there are certain types of life events that put people more at risk for depression. And again, it's the kind of things many of us have experienced over the past year. Loss, job loss specifically, has been related to depression. You know, so any stressful event may contribute to a depressive episode.
And some people have had not just one, but a series. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, of families where multiple people have been impacted by COVID. Some cases, multiple people have died. Mm-hmm. Other cases, it's both people, you know, two partners that both end up with either a job loss or a massive job shift because of COVID. I mean, there's a whole lot of areas there.
Yeah.
So what are some of the common signs of depression?
So the two hallmark signs to look out for are, first, feeling sad, depressed, down, hopeless, or having a significant loss of interest. So let's say normally you really enjoy playing with your grandkids, and then suddenly you kind of feel nothing when you're interacting with your family. So that's what loss of interest is. So those are the two big signs. But oftentimes people will also experience things like changes in appetite, changes in sleep, either sleeping too much or having trouble sleeping, irritability, feelings of worthlessness. Alongside, you know, sometimes when depression is more severe, things like feeling like you're better off dead or having thoughts of suicide.
And when you talk about some of these changes, I mean, is things like overeating or increased substance abuse consumption part of that too?
Yeah, I mean, we do definitely see a connection between mental health conditions and substance use. Oftentimes, people will use things like alcohol or other drugs to self-medicate, so to speak, to try to make themselves feel better, which unfortunately is not an effective strategy for improving mood.
And do you see this kind of dragging on with some people in terms of during the pandemic that maybe a lot of people, I mean, the first month of that, everybody was stressed. It was off the charts, but people began to cope in various ways. But are there some people that really entered a state of depression then that are probably still there?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you know, many of the things that have been stressful about the past 18 months aren't really significantly better. I mean, thankfully, most kids are back in school, which for parents is likely a huge improvement in their stress level. But we still have a lot of uncertainty around health. There's sort of back and forth about masking and not masking and where you can go and who you can spend time with. So all of those things have led to a lot of uncertainty. So most people don't do well when in the midst of the unknown.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Dr. Cora Hart from ADAPT with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. We'll take a look at the forestry program at Umpqua Community College. Dr. Cora Hart with us, a psychologist and the ADAPT Primary Care Behavioral Health Program Director. talking about Mental Health Awareness Month for October and depression as part of that and everything that's been going on right now. I imagine for those of you in the treatment community, not only have you seen more people coming in, but certainly for periods of time, and it's shifted back and forth at various points, even how you could or should treat them has been its own level of stress.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, we know what works well for depression. We know good interventions. But, you know, I think what is unique about the current situation is mental health providers are in the same pandemic, you know, so they're all dealing with stress and loss and, you know, juggling childcare and all the things that everyone else has been. So I think it is definitely a unique experience of continuing to provide therapy for others while you yourself are also kind of dealing with the same stuff.
And over the years, I've had a lot of friends and, you know, acquaintances in different areas of mental health, psychologists, psychiatrists, and various people that I knew from other parts of my life. And that's been one of the things that's been, I think, a few years ago, talking to one of them who honestly looked very stressed out and said mm-hmm. he had to go talk to somebody. And I just looked at him. I said, yeah, but everybody comes and talks to you. And he's like, yeah, and I need to go talk to somebody else myself.
Absolutely.
Now. So how do people in doing what you're doing and your staff and people doing similar things, how do you cope?
Yeah, that's a great question. It sort of puts me on the spot because, you know, sometimes I'm better at not practicing what I preach than following through. But, you know, I think it's been really important to have good support systems. You know, with my team, it's really important to me that we have time to kind of debrief and kind of talk about some of the most difficult cases and 100% seeking therapy ourselves and myself when it's needed. I always encourage that and think it can be really important.
What about people finding during their off times or off days or whatever, other activities where they can just sort of unplug from all that?
Yes, and I think we're learning more by the day on the impacts of social media and technology and how that can affect the brain and mood and stress. Definitely taking time away from technology, taking time away from work is so important.
And what about exercise as a component of that?
Yeah, so exercise is actually one of the most straightforward interventions for depression. I mean, obviously there's medication, there's therapy, there's many other skills. But if you do nothing else, go for a 10-minute walk. That's regular physical activity has been shown to be as effective for some individuals as medication for mild to moderate depression. So that is always something I recommend for anyone struggling with low mood.
Now, are some people that are affected by depression or some of the related issues, does this tend to hit people at certain points of their life more than others?
So, again, this is research, so it's on average looking at large groups of people. But most people who are going to have a true major depressive episode will have a first episode sometime in their late teens or early 20s, but that can vary significantly. You know, someone may be in their 60s or 70s and have a first episode of depression.
Wow. And so if you've never dealt with that before, you might almost be surprised to find yourself in that state of mind.
Yes.
Wow. So what about coping skills? I mean, mm-hmm. you mentioned exercise. What are some other things people can do?
Yeah. So there's this idea that comes out of dialectical behavior therapy, which is not specifically a therapy for depression. But, you know, I think the skill applies. It's called opposite action. So unfortunately, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling depressed, the things that you feel like doing aren't necessarily going to help you get to a better place, aren't going to help you do the things that matter to you and are important to you. So you can think about, you know, what your feelings, noticing your feelings, experiencing them, enough to understand what your feelings are telling you to do. So maybe that is I'm feeling like staying in bed all day and not talking to anybody, but unlikely to lead you to a place where you're feeling any better at the end of that day. So instead of listening to those immediate feelings, choosing opposite action. So my feelings are that I want to stay in bed all day. So instead, I'm going to make myself get out of bed and take a 5-minute shower and then decide what I'm going to do next. So kind of opposite action, doing the opposite of what you're feeling in the moment, with the intention of moving your mood to a different place.
For people that are on their own or in a relationship, but they're adults and, you know, they've got jobs and things like that, activities, things to do, they're kind of taking care of themselves or maybe one other person. But I imagine this pandemic for people that have younger kids at home has been quantified. It's just been that much worse.
Yes. I mean, there's a whole level of stress. You know, school was out for much of last year. You know, kids are kind of dealing with their own stress in their environments and bringing that home and trying to juggle all of these things. You know, one other practice that I think would like to highlight is that of gratitude. And I think this is actually a great one to practice as a family, especially as we are coming up on the month of November and Thanksgiving, that many people celebrate. But taking time each day to notice and share the things that you're thankful for can really be a powerful way to shift your attention and shift your focus in a more positive direction.
And yet a lot of people would look around right now and initially want to say, yeah, I don't really have that much to be grateful for.
Yes, exactly. Well, and interestingly enough, even the process of trying to find something to be grateful for can have a positive effect. So even if you're in a place where you can't think of anything, the process of seeking something to be grateful for can have a benefit. But most of us can find most of the time at least one thing, even if it is just the fact that it's not raining today.
So about 3 minutes left on Inside Douglas County. If somebody's listening to this and themselves or a friend, family member, or someone they work with, they realize that, you know, that's what this is, what's going on. They're obviously depressed right now. How do you help other people and how do you help yourself move forward?
Yeah, I think a great place to start for most people is reaching out to your primary care provider. They can talk to you about medication options. Medication can certainly have some benefit. And they can also help get you connected with a therapist if that is something you want to incorporate into your treatment as well.
And there's been a shift really in the last few years of sort of integrating all of that. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. And that really relates to a lot of what you do, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. So in our clinic specifically, we have behavioral health providers that are part of the primary care teams and are available, you know, under ideal circumstances to meet with patients when they're there to see their primary care provider. So we try to make it easy to get connected with whatever services anybody needs.
And if people aren't quite ready to go that route, what mm-hmm. are some other things people ought to be doing?
Yeah, so, you know, definitely if you're thinking you might benefit from any kind of treatment, I would recommend checking out the ADAPT website, adaptoregon.org. There's a lot of great resources and information there about resources and what services are available in our community. And I think you know, reaching out to a friend, you know, making sure that your social supports are as robust and you're accessing them, because we know that a good social support system is a predictor of less depression.
And is there a place that, like, if somebody, like a crisis line or something that people can call?
Yeah, I wrote down the main ADAPT number. So this is not the crisis line, but this is the main phone number for ADAPT. If you're just kind of want to call in and get a sense of what services are available, you can call 541-672-2691.
All right, Dr. Cora Hart from ADAPT, thanks for coming in. 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.